Hello, this is Dr. Lana Love.
And this is Detective David Love.
Welcome to Universal Soul Love. Today we've got a really interesting topic called the spiritual connection to medical illness, spirit possession or not.
Right. So a lot of people have concerns about emotional and physical illness and how it might relate to astral entities, astral parasites, quote-unquote demonic possession states, all these sorts of things, all the reports that we've heard in the spiritual community that have not technically been proven but have not been disproven. And Lana and I are here to take a crack at this and see what we can come up with and try to find some spiritual connections to these disturbing reports we've heard.
And
throughout
of course,
the ages.
We have the whole realm of psychiatric illness and people claiming to be possessed and the question of whether this is indeed psychiatric illness or not. So a huge area, isn't it?
It's a very broad topic, and I'm sure we could have many talk shows on this theme.
But today, the detective and the doctor will try to break it down for you and try to make sense of it. So where should we start? I think we should probably start with consciousness. David, you are an expert on this, being a mystic author.
Okay, well, expert being a subjective word, but thank you very much. So, last week we actually did a show on, I actually did some channeling, I believe. It's interesting. I don't know. I'm an investigator and I'm an open-minded skeptic. I've certainly written books on metaphysical theories and the mind-body connection. So I often connect to my higher consciousness. Detective work is very intuitive. So I'm often connecting to my higher senses and to what I call the higher mind or the higher self, a greater consciousness where you draw information from. And it's within this greater consciousness that all sorts of, I've discovered, and these are my beliefs, and beliefs are not fact, and I think any facts can be disputed, and I've done this with lawyers for the past 25 years. Anything can be disputed and disproven, really, almost anything. So anything we say here is certainly our opinions for the most part, but my belief here is that, I often draw on information, although it's not verifiable. It's not often objectively verifiable, and objective information is, once again, objectivity is not quite, anyhow, that's another ambiguous word, I think, but so we're drawing on personal information, and to me, it's my personal truths. So when we're drawing on this greater source of consciousness, I believe there's all sorts of systems in what I call the multiverse, all sorts of dimensions. There are all sorts of conscious beings in the universe and what I call the hidden world or the invisible universe. There are beings that are helpful to us, and there are negative energies or negative entities, and again, these are dualistic terms, positive and negative, or good and bad, but nonetheless, there are malicious and harmful entities. There are some that draw on your emotions. There are some that feed on your energy, your vital life force. There are even higher intelligent beings that are much more devious and much more malicious, that are higher, some people call them demons. So these are things that I've experienced in out-of-body experiences. And so when it comes to channeling and spirit communication, yes, I suppose it hasn't. There's certainly lots of reports and there's lots of information on it. And it's very intriguing. I don't think it's been scientifically proven, but we can't discount it either. So That's a good start, I think, Lana.
I mean, certainly through the ages, historically, other entities, so-called demons, spirits, and angels have been acknowledged by people. So it's not scientific to rule that out as imagination. On the other hand, what we have to think about is our own consciousness is like a universe of its own accord. And there are times when we're happy, there's time when we're sad. Our thoughts can intermingle with our consciousness. And obviously, just like the body can get sick, the consciousness can get sick. And we can suffer from a variety of psychiatric disorders, be it depression, anxiety, be it psychosis, which psychosis is where the self actually disintegrates, where your thought processes can be very confused, where you can start believing things that other people would not share with you or nor any other group of people, called delusions, and where you start hearing things and seeing things, auditory hallucinations, the classic signs of psychosis. So this is a huge area. If someone is disturbed, is this their own consciousness which is disturbed? Or is this other entities impinging on your consciousness? Or could it possibly be both? And this is where we have to talk about and think about whether we're going to look at this and believe in this in a categorical black and white fashion, either it is or it isn't, or a spectrum. Can you have a touch of possession? Can you, as well as being psychiatrically ill?
Well, that's my feeling. I think that as human beings, we tend to be very narrow-minded and limited in our thinking, and we tend to think it's either or. It's either going to be a spiritual source of our illness, or it's going to be a biological illness, purely medical, caused by bacteria and viruses, or poisoning, or whatever it happens to be, or it's maybe it's just psychological and purely emotional. And I don't believe that's true. I believe that there is a mind-body-spirit connection. And I believe that many times there are lower vibrational life forms, lower conscious beings, lower being another subjective term. But they come in and they feed on your energy. And they may not. And this may not be like the classic Hollywood horror show demonic attack, like Exorcist. We're talking about negative energies coming in and basically feeding on, you may be already depressed because of some experience in your life. Maybe someone died that you loved and you're depressed and you're grieving, or something else happened and you're sad, or you're angry, or it goes over an extended period of time, and these astral parasites will come in and feed on your energy, and they'll actually exacerbate the condition. So although they didn't cause the condition in the first place, they come in and make it worse for you. And I've actually seen one of these in my own experiences 10 years ago with the proverbial dark cloud. I actually saw this.
Wow, that sounds terrifying.
It was. I was literally terrified, like a victim in a horror movie at the time.
Sounds like a Dementor from Harry Potter.
Yeah, I'm not sure I remember that, but what a Dementor is, but I guess that's a good word for it.
It's this sort of dark entity that feeds and sucks the life force out of you. Okay. Oh, horrible.
Well, I woke up at midnight one night, and I sort of sat up in bed and realized, you know, I was still laying down, but here I was sort of, I guess, my astral body sitting up, and it was like I was seeing the room with night vision. It was sort of green, and I could see the room, even though it was actually pitch black, and it must have been around midnight. And there's a dark cloud hovering over the ceiling of my room, and it was enormous, and I could see it in detail, the little smoke, pieces of smoke revolving around, and I felt an intelligent presence there, some sort of intelligence.
Wow.
And it was there, you know, I think I had depression for a little while, you know, maybe a long time ago. This must have been 15 years ago, for a period of time. I don't know if it was depression, but, you know, blue mood.
Mm-hmm.
And nonetheless, there it was, and I kind of knew why it was there.
Wow.
But I had felt its presence in the house for not several months, maybe a month or more. And I felt fear, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I knew the presence was there. So,
well, it's interesting. A friend of mine once had an awful experience where he was in a deep sleep, and all of a sudden he yelled out blue murder. He just screamed, and afterwards all he could remember, that he was terrified. That's all he remembered. Now, medically, that's known as a night terror, but the question is a night terror just a medical condition, or is it actually when someone attacks you? And look, I'd like to actually parallel this with medical conditions, where you can have two separate, I guess, types of conditions, but they could overlap as well. For instance, if you have got some genetic defect and your kidneys are failing because of, you know, perhaps the anatomical problems with the way that the kidneys are all wired up, your kidneys are going to fail. On the other hand, you could have an infection in your kidneys or any other organs. An infection is very much like, I guess, a demonic possession or a parasitic infection. Or when you have a vulnerable organ, infection is more likely to attack it. So that's a really good parallel with a physical body. In the same way, I guess I believe now the consciousness can sometimes be attacked. And look, I was a skeptic for a very long time. You know, being a doctor, being scientifically sort of grounded, so to speak, you know, and in psychiatry, obviously, you know, this is not taught, you know, demonic possession or parasitic infestation of the consciousness is laughed upon. And certainly for the majority of cases that I have seen, I wouldn't say that I had detected anything. However, there have been a few cases where I must say there was a knowing that I had that this was not just a psychiatric disorder. And I'll describe it. This is a very spooky tale. Are you ready, David?
Let's hear it. I've seen spooky things before for sure. So,
well, I was working with the mental health community team, and as it happens to be, it was a stormy night.
A dark and stormy night.
It was, I kid you not. And the mother of this patient phoned in. She's very worried about her son, who had been diagnosed with schizophrenia before, but apparently he had got much worse. And in fact, over the phone, we heard his screams on the background of her voice. And it sounded horrifying. Anyway, we all went to do a house call on him. And of course, the light in his district is a blackout. And so he was rather scary. And there I was with two other guys from the community. And we knocked on the door and we heard this low voice screaming out. Oh, it was terrifying. Anyway, his mother opened the door, in we came, and we saw this young man seated on the sofa, emanating this incredibly, I mean, it was almost like a movie, this incredibly low, low, devil-like voice. Mm. And then all of a sudden, I saw his head spin. I kid you not.
Wow.
And then I thought, no, I couldn't have seen that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the impression was that his head had spun. Now, I'm not someone who's ever watched horror movies. I don't like them. But as you know, this is what's said to occur with demon possession. Now, obviously, we treated him with for schizophrenia with antipsychotics. And look, I'm not sure he wasn't my patient after that. I'm assuming he got better. But this is a case where I actually felt that there was something else happening. And I just knew it.
Yeah, that's amazing. There are things that can't be explained, and it doesn't mean that it's not true. It may not be true, but then again, you know, it's the difference between something that can be proven and something that can't be proven. Just because it can't be proven doesn't mean it isn't real. And another one of my experience was another out of body experience is when I was taking a nap on the couch again more than 10 years ago, I believe, and all of a sudden I found myself standing in front of my body, laying on the bed. This was during the day. The room seemed a bit orange as I looked around. This was only, seemed like it was only for a few seconds. And I saw some translucent creatures crawling on me. They looked like something like lobsters.
Oh my gosh.
Something like scorpions with big, huge teeth, sharp, sharp teeth. And fairly big like lobsters, I guess. One was on my back because I was laying on, my body was on the couch taking a nap, and I'm standing there looking. And
it was on your back, so you think it was like feeding on you.
There was one on my back, and there was one crawl on me from behind, and I was laying on my stomach, you know. And I'm just standing there, and it's looking at me, my astral body. This was kind of a very classic out-of-body experience, very spontaneous. And the creature was looking at me, and I sensed it had some sort of intelligence, and it was sort of curious why I was standing there looking at them on my body. Don't know what they were. I believe they were astral wildlife is the best term I can come up with.
I think this is the point where your astral body should have reached for the can of Mortine.
and maybe my higher self, my higher mind sort of wanted me to have this spontaneous astral projections to let me know what was going on. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But so between, and this was around the time of the dark cloud, I guess I kind of lived in a haunted house, you know, I don't know, but no, I do know it was haunted in that sense, however you use that term. But, and I had even had paranormal investigators come in at one point and check the place out, and they were pretty spooked by it.
Really?
So, yeah. They came in with all their equipment and everything and you know, tried to check things out. Didn't come up with much, but, anyhow, what this leads up to is I went to a doctor. I went to a professional doctor because I was concerned that about these out-of-body experiences and these creatures I'd seen that I couldn't explain. And later
on, you thought that you'd lost it.
I don't know. I just, you know, I wanted to know what this was all about. So the doctor didn't know. And the doctor went said, I'm going to check with my supervisor on this. And he did. And he came back and he called me a few days later, I don't know, and said, yep, don't worry about it. They call this
or hypnopompic experiences.
That's right. And he said people have these when they're when they've just fallen asleep or when they're just about to wake up or something in the twilight state or something, and they often see monsters is exactly what he said. And he said, it's nothing to worry about. And so went on with my life, no big deal, and continued to have these sort of psychic spiritual experiences, and I wrote about them. I often write articles about my experiences on the internet and send them out, and I wrote one about what I later decided was a shadow person. It was another interesting experience where I was not asleep. It was not an out-of-body experience. Did not feel threatened by it. I'm not going to go into the shadow person story right now, but just and I can't explain that either. I don't know what a shadow person is. I don't know where they come from. I don't know what their agenda is. Never had heard of them before. So just as so many things that we can't explain. And I'm the one that saw this. I've never seen aliens before. Lots of people say they've seen aliens and flying saucers and Bigfoot and Yetis and Loch Ness Monster and reptilians and all sorts of things. I have never personally seen any of these, so I can't say for myself that these things are real since I haven't seen them. But I can't, when someone gives me a decent report of something like this, some kind of supernatural experience or phenomenon, I don't discount it immediately either, because it's their story, just like the shadow person in the dark cloud is my story. And it's easy for someone to say to me, David, that's not true. How could it be true? I've never, you know, the other person saying, I've never seen a shadow person, so how can they be real? So,
and you know, within the scientific paradigm, you actually have to discount something, don't you?
Well, I mean, we do this in investigations, you know. We go through fact-checking and we go through the process of elimination, and we try to boil it down to a synopsis and come to conclusions. And I like the analytical process, but the analytical process is very difficult with things that are outside our point of reference.
However, if we do use the analytical process, you can say that if so many people have observed something, you cannot discount it. And certainly, you know, we have paranormal investigators. They can pick and detect spirits with various instruments, looking at EMF waves and other things. So, and in this particular case, when people see ghosts, they are not usually possessed by them. But we are actually talking about the possibility of other entities, supposedly that have their own intelligence, infiltrating human consciousness. Now, I haven't heard of ghosts doing that. However, there's one case that I had with a patient that makes me think about whether that in fact could be true. And this is, I think, this particular patient is an example of someone, I believe, who's got both a psychiatric illness and could have been possessed in some ways by the spirit of her dead brother. This particular patient was subjected to years of sexual abuse by her stepbrother, really horrendous case. And the patient is actually has a heart of gold. I really feel for this woman's suffering. And obviously she had very severe depression, post-traumatic stress disorder from all of it. However, she started to have some unusual experiences several years ago on top of her depression that made me seriously question whether there was a ghost in her house. She would see her dead brother in front of her vividly. And these were times when she wouldn't necessarily dissociate. She would dissociate as well, which means your consciousness changes and you sort of lose time. But there would be other times where she would know that she was in the room and it was, you know, 2014 or 15, as the year was back then. And she would actually see her dead brother. She saw her dead father as well. Then the doors started to open and close of their own accord. And, you know, this was odd. This is not a psychiatric symptom for the doors to open and close. And she had a normal thought form. Her thoughts were not confused. She was able to report everything to me in a clear fashion. She did not hear voices with her ears. She would sometimes hear her dead brother's voice in her head, but she would also hear her own voice telling her that she was no good. And classic hallucinations are actually heard with the ears, as if you're actually hearing someone talking to you in the room. And she did not have delusions. She actually thought that she was going mad, which is actually quite often a very good way of confirming that someone isn't mad when they think that they're going mad. It means that they've got some insight that the experiences they are having are not the normal type of experiences. So in this particular case, I think this patient of mine was not only psychiatrically ill, not only was she traumatized by her past, I think she may have been visited by a ghost, and I wonder whether some of her continuing trauma may have been due to her dead brother somehow continuing to haunt her inside her consciousness. I don't know. I just know that apart from treating her with therapy, psychiatric medication, I introduced the concept of the white light and love and surrounding her with white light, and this helped.
This is interesting. There's so many subtopics here. Certainly with astral parasites, this is a term that I use for things like the dark cloud and things that stick to your aura, to suck your vital life force out. You can use, they used to call it cleansing in the old days before they did ceremonial magical rituals. You would cleanse your body with water and take a bath, and you could take bath with salts, Epsom salts, sea salts. I understand that the salt will actually, it sort of removes negative, it absorbs negative energy, the crystalline forms, but it also repels these negative entities. So that's one way, that's one psychic self-defense technique. When it comes to these lower vibrational energies, another psychic self-defense technique is to be in your power and to realize they use fear, just like in wildlife, as a means of, that's where they get predatory, and that's how they prey on you. They prey on even the higher intelligent ones. They prey on the sick, the weak, and the vulnerable, the young. So if you're already medically ill or mentally or emotionally ill or distressed, they can take advantage of that. So you need to be in your power. You need to be confident. You can't be in fear of them. They use many of these beings. They come in all. They come from many dimensions. Some of them reside here on the planet. There are races. There are isolated conscious beings from other, I guess you'd call them extra-dimensional beings and aliens. And nonetheless, you need to be in your power because they use fear, just like human beings often use fear as a control mechanism. So you need to be confident in your power. Tell them no, you're not allowed to be on me or near me or in my space. There's just a couple of techniques. I mean, and you should be treated for your medical illness or your mental illness. You should seek assistance for any medically related biological illness or mental illness. But you can also seek talk therapy and alternative healers and spiritual advisors in addition to that, adjunctive complementary medicines, because it could be multiple causes that requires, or multiple symptoms that requires, a multi-strategy treatment approach.
At the same time, it's important for people not to fear that they've got some sort of possession just because they have a psychiatric illness. And this comes back to the issue of whether things are black and white or whether there's a spectrum. Certainly, I mean, other psychiatrists have noted that some of their patients can have unusual symptoms. And there is one psychiatrist who does take a very categorical approach. And in some ways, this is perhaps the easiest way to go, because it's important for people not to fear that they've got a possession state when they're just psychiatrically ill. This particular psychiatrist, Richard Gallagher, is an associate professor of clinical psychiatry at New York Medical College, and he's written a whole book on demonic possession. Obviously a very erudite man. Now, he has seen a number of cases that are very different to his usual psychiatric cases. And one lady he describes as a self-styled satanic high priestess who called herself a witch and was dressed in the part with flowing dark clothes, black eyeshadow around her temples. And she acknowledged worshipping Satan as his queen. So she was a Satanist. And so, you know, you could say that she was exposing herself to negative influences. The interesting thing that he describes about her are some things that you would not see in psychiatric illness. For instance, she had amazing powers of clairvoyancy, and she would be able to tell people what had happened to various relatives, and it was amazing how she would just know. She actually asked, I believe that she became depressed, but she actually asked the church to exorcise her. And the Roman Catholic priest actually asked the psychiatrist along because he wanted an opinion about whether she was psychiatrically ill or not. And so you had a whole group of the psychiatrists, you had a couple of psychiatric nurses, you had some priests. It was an interesting group. And what they witnessed was amazing. They actually witnessed her levitating. They witnessed her talking in tongues and talking with a deep growling voice, and actually growling in a way that the people that observed her agree that no human could actually emit noises like this. And what took over her, this is the conclusion this psychiatrist came to, would shout out obscenities, vulgar terms, would say things such as, let me read this, such as, leave. She's ours. Leave her alone, you idiot. Leave, you imbecile priest. The tone of her voice was vaguely masculine and guttural, and at other times high-pitched. So there was another time where they were trying to help her, and there was a whole group of people that were talking over the phone about this case, trying to clarify whether it was a psychiatric illness or whether she was possessed. And all of a sudden, this demonic sounding voice.
I've heard that voice before myself. And
came over the telephone, and she did not make a telephone call. And it sounds like they actually checked with the telephone lines to see whether she had placed a call, and no call had been placed. So these paranormal phenomena were present. And he says that this psychiatrist says that quite clearly people are either possessed or they're not, although he does also say that there can be some oppression and some infestation. So he's on the spectrum a little bit. But he quite clearly says that if you have these occurrences of these paranormal phenomena, then quite clearly this is more than just psychiatric illness. Oh, there's also the case where they can discern blessed objects or not. So they had holy water and they had plain water, and various times during the exorcism, they would either splash her with holy water or not. When she was splashed with holy water, she would recoil from it. When she was just splashed with water, there'd be no problem. So interesting.
I mean, yeah.
Fascinating.
It is. And look, I've mentioned this before. I belong to a Rosicrucian society. And in the lodge, we had a lot of professionals. It was a police officer, a lawyer, a biologist, astrophysicist at a university. And they believed in these things. And, of course, they would have been discredited, you know, in their jobs and ostracized and everything. I just don't know. I mean...
Well, I guess what we do know is that there are some conditions which are clearly a psychiatric disorder, and people need to get treatment for this. I mean, we know, and with my scientific background, I know that there is clear-cut proof that people get better when treated with antidepressants or antipsychotic agents. And there's very good evidence that there are chemical changes in the neurons with, you know, increased amount of dopamine in cases of psychosis and reduced amount of serotonin and noradrenaline in cases of depression. And we know that antidepressants increase the amount of serotonin and noradrenaline in the synapses and seem to bring the brain back to a state where it functions normally. Now, they do not cure depression. Depression, after about 9 months or a few years, and with therapy as well, depression seems to leave a person unless they have a very severe illness. What antidepressants do is they create a normalized environment for the brain so the person doesn't kill themselves or is able to continue on with their life and seek therapy. With psychosis, we have undeniable proof that if you treat psychosis early with antipsychotic agents, and also vitamin fish oil has been proven to reduce the likelihood of a psychotic illness becoming very chronic. And so it's really important that people get treatment for this.
Sure. And I think you use minimal treatment. You try everything you can. And in instances where it's a very disturbing experience, I had a friend who had auditory and visual hallucinations, and it almost looked like an epileptic episode when it came on, and it was incredibly disturbing to him. He used to be a federal engineer before he had his psychotic break, and it was terrible for him, and he was suffering from it, and he took Zyprexa, and he used to tell me it gave him a fighting chance. And I knew him for a long time and watched this often enough, and he was not going to benefit from talk therapy. There was nothing else available that we have at this time that was going to help him. And he had tried many things. He had been to alternative healers. I believe had tried various things. The Zyprexa actually helped him. And I believe because it's available and there was nothing else to help him from these terrible episodes, these distressful experiences he was having, it would be inhumane to not let him have that Zyprexa in this instance. And this is always case by case.
Well, I would actually argue that it would be silly not to treat. You know, I guess coming from where I come, I have seen people get better with antidepressants and antipsychotic agents. I've seen people's lives turn around. And I think that it is a mistake to believe in those cases that you have got a spirit possession. And there's a part of me that feels that, you know, wants to deny actually that something like that exists. However, I guess it can be useful to know that perhaps not everyone that believes that they have some sort of negative influence is psychotic. You know, there are degrees of things.
There are. It's a spectrum.
I wonder whether it is best not to believe this and not to live in fear, or whether to be informed and not to go into fear so that nothing else can prey on you, be it bacteria, viruses, or entities? I don't know the answer to this because we live in such a complex world. I believe in being open-minded. I do know that in 99% of cases of psychiatric illness, treatment with either medication or therapy does help. But there are, is the 1% of cases where I can't be sure.
Well, I don't think it's either or, and it's not a black and white world, and it could be a mind-body-spirit connection where they're all linked together and they're all causing the condition. I think we have to just look at it case by case. And we've both seen miraculous cures. We've seen we're both hypnotists. I think the hypnosis is very effective, sometimes more effective than talk therapy. We've seen energy therapy apparently work. We've seen miraculous healings. We don't know the power of the mind or the extent of it. We don't know the extent of the mind on the body, mind over matter, or the power of the universe and all these different alternative healing modalities we've seen at work. There's so many reports of treatments that work that are not traditional that we can't discount those either. And you should go seek those out. If you can find some miraculous cure that cures you of an emotional or a medical illness, do it. Try everything that's reasonable. You know, don't do what they did in the Dark Ages, which was when they thought someone was possessed of a spirit when they were actually mentally ill, which they could have been both mentally ill and possessed by some malicious spirit, they beat the devil out of them. That's how they got it out of them. And the reason for that is because when any spirit enters your body, just like in the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze, and Demi Moore and Whoopi Goldberg, a spirit can enter your body, and it's like more like channeling rather than mediumship, because in mediumship it's spirit communication, but when the spirit enters your body, it becomes channeling, and the spirit's now speaking through you using your voice box in your body. When a spirit enters your body, my belief is that it will feel and experience everything you do. So if a malicious spirit possesses your body, they used to beat the devil out of you, so that demon, quote unquote, feels pain and it will leave your body. And I don't recommend that. And please don't do this to anyone. But that's what they did in the Dark Ages.
I guess if we can end on a positive note, the world is incredibly complex, multi-layered, and it's good to be aware of this. It's also very good to be aware of how powerful we are. And I can unequivocally say that if people are able to stand in their power, yes, and feel the strength of their own spirit, nothing will enter them. You have the power to completely close off from any negative influences, be it spirits, be it other people in their relationships to you, and also be it various infections. It is possible to highly train our consciousness to be the most amazing force there is. Just look at Buddhist monks who can actually lie on the snow and not get cold. Our consciousness is one of the most powerful things and weapons that we have. So being in your power and not being in fear is the best way to guarantee sovereignty of the self.
I agree 100%. The spiritual warrior philosophy and mentality, keep that attitude. People often come to me on social media with these kind of issues, with spirits coming in fearsome forms and shapes to put the fear of the devil into you, so to speak. And I tell them, because I talk about my experiences in this area and people seem to think I have some special knowledge. And my answer is usually exactly what you just said, Lana. Stand in your power. Do not allow it. That's the best way to ward them off.
And of course, standing in your power, the best thing you can do is to gain a deep love and respect for yourself.
Yes.
Love is what makes the universe go round, and love is ultimately what strengthens the self the most.
The heart of the spiritual warrior is his the warrior's power.
That's right.
And in saying that, we wish you all the best and lots of love from Universal Soul Love.
Have a great week. Bye for now.
Bye for now.